Another day.
Getting closer to the playoffs. Okay,
bro,
so
can I just say this before anything else? I just want to be like, fuck the Bucks. And I want to say why is because Chet and Shay have this new commercial, right? If you guys haven't seen it, check out this new Shay and Chet commercial. It's pretty baller. And the Bucks after the game, they trolled Shay and Chet, right? Just fucking with them, bro. And I gotta say this, man. I hope on everything that somehow they beat the Celtics and they think that they're gonna crush the shit out of us in the championship game. And we get to play them in the championship game and we beat them in four games and make Giannis cry. Man, that would be the greatest thing ever, dude. If we watch Giannis and his brothers sitting on the baseline, just sitting on the baseline crying. I mean, dude, that would be the greatest thing I could ever imagine at this moment, dude. Fuck the Bucks. Fuck that whole.
I didn't see the troll. I'm going to check it up as soon as I get off here with you, but
got to check it out, guys.
So this loss plays like big time into the narrative that, well, the Thunder aren't ready for playoff level basketball. Doc Rivers came in, you know, he gave Thunder a look of the type of defense and the way that, you know, shots get tough in the playoffs, and they made it so it wasn't going to be a wide open free flowing game, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, I think I heard somebody say that this is the blueprint to beat the Thunder. I'm like, yeah, okay, here's the blueprint to beat the Thunder, right? Hold Shay under 20 points, okay? And in doing that, make sure Chet goes 1-for-10. Okay, yeah, if you can do those things, you're probably going to have a pretty good shot. But in the end, like, the reality of it is it's not that simple. And some teams can have a good game, and we can have an off night. Those things can coincide, but playoff basketball is not about one game. It's about adjustments. It's about 7-game series. Ever since they got rid of the first round being a 5-game series, like, every game, everything is a 7-game series, and these 7-game series go back and forth. And a lot of people question whether or not the Thunder are going to be able to make the types of in-game or post-game adjustments, you know, to win in a 7-game series, Dave. So why don't you respond to that?
I think the Thunder, and we witnessed the Thunder having its worst game of the season for Shay and Chet and a lot of the other players. I mean, Josh had a phenomenal game, but everybody else just kind of, it was so hard to watch. I'm sorry. It just was. It was painful, especially that fourth quarter. For me, I'm looking at it and I'm saying like this, is that everyone has an ugly sibling. You know what I'm saying? And like, everyone is like, man, I got a hot sibling, I got an ugly sibling, right? So the other night, we brought our ugly sibling to a blind date, and the blind date left before we could do anything. So that's what happened, man. We just did not come ready. That's just going to happen throughout the season. So the Bucks won. Congratulations. But I think any team in the league would have beat us the way we played the other night. And that's just being honest. Like, do the Bucks embarrass us? Sure, sure. Okay, but we're not done spanking them. We'll come back. I want to take a positive note before we go on anymore about this Bucks thing. All right, man. I gotta throw this out here, dude. The other day, dude, we got trashed again on a couple comments, and you know, that's just the way it goes. And we were laughing about it, but the other day we have two people that jumped up on the Apple podcast, and I want to give a huge shout out to these guys. First is Abraham H. Kalim. I'm going to butcher these, and that's okay. Although they may be a little inconsistent, this is one of my favorite Thunder podcasts. I want to say you're absolutely right. We've been inconsistent since January. That's on us. We will get back there. But we, for 2.5 seasons, we did not miss a single day, or we did not miss back-to-back days. So that's not normal for us. This isn't normal for us, but we will get back. And then the other one is Joshua something. Anyways, this podcast is great. For haters to spend so much time reviewing it negatively is a sign that these guys are a problem for the normal narrative. They were laughed at for positive view in 2003 or 2023 and 2024 season. And now look how much they were right. Kudos on a Pro Thunder podcast. Now, that's kind of feeling like I'm tooting my own horn there. But I just want to say, like, we just are really appreciative when people take time to write a review, whether it's a shitty review or it's a good review. We don't give a shit. We just appreciate when people take the time to let us know how we're doing. And on Apple, that one seems to have a really horrible rating of us of 2.6 out of 5 stars. 96 ratings. It's horrible.
Do you know why
guys.
It's 2.6? I'll tell you why it's 2.6.
That was our fault.
The reason it's as high as 2.6 is because to leave a review, you have to give somebody one star. Because if they could give us 0 stars, then it would be like under that. But they have to give us one star, so that's why it's as high as 2.6. And trust me, people have said some
anyways,
pretty funny things about
it. We appreciate it.
But I do want to say, like you said, we didn't miss back-to-back days. But Dave, you moved from Hawaii to Washington, D.C. area. And like you said, we didn't miss days. So it took some pretty extraordinary circumstances for us to have to miss some days. And Dave was the glue hanging things, you know, keeping things going. And I was the one flaking, but we're figuring out our schedule. I'm in a new area and we're getting all the internet and things like that worked out. But we'll be back.
Starting to connect, guys.
We will be the level of consistency that we used to be once again. But it's been a fun ride. It's incredible time to watch. Like right now, it looks like the Nuggets might be stepping away the first place. And Shea, it seems like his hopes that MVP were tied to that. It's not going to be something that we think we're going to see. We've had a lot of conversations about Chet in the rookie of the year. That looks like that's being run away with in a different direction. So I hope people understand that these awards come with curses a lot of times. You know, like very rarely is the guy who wins MVP, does he go on to win the championship, even though they're the favorite going into the, you know, into the playoffs or something like that a lot of times. So I would prefer that curse to be on somebody else. And we'll take the number two seed going into the playoffs if that's how it's handed to us. And we'll come out of that side of the West.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll play whoever can make it out of the other side. And I think you assume it would be the Nuggets. What are the chances, though, that the Timberwolves keep it going right now and we end up at the three seed? But really, it doesn't matter, right? Because, like, the two and three,
let's just talk about that. Let's talk about where we would land if we were one through three. All right. If we are number one, then we'll most likely play against Houston, Golden State, Los Angeles, Phoenix, or Dallas. All right. Now, let me tell you, ready? If we're number two, we're most likely going to play against Golden State, Houston, Los Angeles, Phoenix, or Dallas. Oh, and let me give you this. If we're ranked number three, you guys getting it yet? We're going to play most likely Golden State, Houston, Los Angeles, Lakers, Phoenix, or Dallas. Even Sacramento, throw them in there. I mean, fuck it. LA Clippers are falling back pretty quickly, too.
Well, I mean,
there's
like the Clippers,
no guarantee who we're going to end up playing.
The Kings and the Mavs are tied. So, like,
so it's all about just playing.
Yeah, it's just about playing. So there's no dictating, but the key is if you end up with the one or the two seed, you end up with home court advantage. More often, you end up for a couple rounds. If you end up with a one seed, obviously you hold it throughout the Western Conference playoffs. So obviously there's an advantage to that. We play better at home, especially
being
young.
Here's the
thing,
though.
Yeah.
Would you rather play as the second round play, right? Would you rather play a Minnesota team as the three seed or two seed, right? Or would you rather play the Clippers, Pelicans, Dallas, Phoenix, whoever is going to end up being that four seed, that five seed, you know, because the four and five seed play against each other. So, you know what I'm saying? Like where would we rather? Second round team I'd rather play would be Minnesota, because there's no guarantee that Minnesota would even get out of the first round if they have to play against Golden State or Los Angeles Lakers, you know?
So this is a crazy time where you don't really
Minnesota with us second round
targeting teams right now. Like, you don't know who you're going to get. Want to get home court as long as you can under those circumstances. I wouldn't want to play the Kings in the first round. I wouldn't want to play the Timberwolves. I wouldn't want to play us. I wouldn't want to play the Nuggets. And I think that's kind of like some teams might be like, oh, I'd prefer to play the Timberwolves because they're unproven than the Nuggets, and that's fine. But those teams are probably going to get beat by whoever they pretend like they want to match up against anyway. There are some teams like the Clippers
that
you
think
could end up in
Minnesota plays against.
Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's just say season ended right now. You've got Minnesota versus Sacramento. Who wins?
I like Sacramento in this one. But we're notorious, right. Like
Dallas versus OK.
Give the Timberwolves a bad time. But yeah, I mean, I think Sacramento has what I'd want in that game.
All right. So Dallas ends up playing, let's say, Dallas ends up playing Phoenix in that first play-in, right? Who wins that game? Oh, Phoenix. Let's just say Phoenix beats Dallas in that game. All right. So we have to play against Phoenix in the first round. How do you feel about that?
I feel fine about that. I think there's
all right
strengths that Phoenix has that will play better against different teams, but we have the guard defenders. I mean, you're going to have to beat them four games. It's not going to be easy, but yeah, we could do that.
So here's my hot prediction. Dallas loses to Phoenix in the first play-in game. They end up having to play against Los Angeles Lakers, Golden State, or Houston. I say Dallas loses the second time in a row this close to the playoffs, and Luka doesn't get a chance to go to the playoffs again. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's realistic.
Out of all these teams, I feel like Dallas is the weakest.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said about momentum, and they're playing really well right now. So are the Rockets. Short series, especially, you think you want the best player, and Luka is that best player. But, yeah, I mean, I like the narrative of, like,
sure.
Luka like having to sit out while everybody else is playing in the playoffs and, like, feeling like he's missing out. It's going to wear on him, and he's going to be looking for greener pastures sooner than later if he keeps missing the playoffs. But yeah, who knows? The Warriors could slip out of the playoffs. Even having a chance at the play-in right now,
dude.
It's
half
crazy.
Half a game ahead of Houston.
Houston wasn't supposed to
dude,
break.
Do you know
this
who's
way.
Had the best? No, they weren't, dude. Guess who's had the best 10-game splits in the last 10 games? All right, you ready for this? Boston Celtics 9-1, Denver 9-1, and the Houston Rockets 9-1. That's crazy, bro. They were tied with Utah a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago.
How about the Rockets losing after being up like double, like up by 30? Like that's crazy. The Celtics. So the Celtics.
Good times.
What do you think about the Celtics? Like, obviously, they're at the point where they're championship or bust. And do you think that that's a good spot for them to be in? I think I tend to think that this type of spot can a lot of times lead to negativity.
The Celtics are in trouble, bro. I'll be honest with you. Like, if they don't win this year,
yeah,
they have to reassess everything. They have to decide, is Tatum that guy? Is Jaylen Brown that guy? Is, you know, our coaching staff, those guys? Like, they've got to reassess everything because they cannot turn into another Utah team that has to go up against Michael Jordan five times or whatever. You know, like, they can't do that. They can't turn into the Buffalo Bills in the 90s. Whatever they can, they have to turn it around. And if the Celtics don't win it this year, they've got to... I mean, I would have said bring in Doc Rivers again because he'll figure it out. But obviously, they're in trouble. But if I were them and they don't win, then I'm looking at possibly trading one of my two best players to see if I can find a better matchup for what I need for the future. Because, I mean, they're going to get stuck behind the Oklahoma City Thunder for the next decade or, you know, another team that's young team if they don't figure it out. Because, I mean... They're going to win 60-plus games this year, bro. And they look filthy.
They do. And I wonder, though, like, getting out of that Eastern Conference may not even be something that happens. Like, that would be really embarrassing for them. And I get it. But you see a Milwaukee team that's starting to get going. And you think about the matchup problems that Milwaukee can provide because of the positional elements of their stars. And you're like, wow, you know, I get that.
Man.
You know, two forwards are great, but having
you're right.
a power forward slash center in Giannis and a point guard slash shooting guard in Dame, plus the shooting you get on the wings and the centers and stuff.
Sure.
Like, it's, there's no guarantees, but what happens in a city like Boston is if people expect the finals and you don't get there, then all of a sudden just people just start dumping on you and everybody's trash and the whole thing is a terrible experiment and, you know, it all fucked up when they trusted Danny Ainge in the first place and now they need a clean house. And it's like, you guys had 160 games and you're acting like babies. But that's how it works in Boston. And I think that's how it works in LA. But
I just,
you know,
I look at this team though that we have in the Oklahoma City Thunder and seeing how we match up against these other teams, especially in the East. And if I was the East, I would be scared. I'd be like, listen, we might not get a chance to win a championship in the East for the next decade because some of these West teams are starting to look really, really good. That's what I would be feeling right now. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, what is the Oklahoma City Thunder's biggest weakness right now? We're one of the best defensive teams, but what do you think our biggest weakness is? And I'm going to tell you right now. Is our biggest weaknesses, and I look at a lot of the different stats, and I say defensive rebounds is obviously something we need help with. But really, I think that we give up two buckets too much every game. All right, we're averaging our defense. Our defense is holding teams to 113 points a game. Right, I would love to see that under 110 when we get to the playoffs. I just would. If we can get holding teams under 110 points a game into the playoffs, this team is going to destroy motherfuckers. If we have an opportunity not to get to that 110, because I know any given night that we can put up 125 points. And if we can put away teams quickly, right, and efficiently, and we don't have to sit there in the fourth quarter and wonder if this team is going to blow another lead or anything else like that, then we're in really, really good shape. But during the playoffs, I need to see this team step up the defense. I'm not going to call it the greatest weakness, but I'm going to say that under 110 points is going to be a key to be able to win a championship this year.
You know, a lot of
holding teams under 110.
Yeah, a lot of focus has been paid to the lack of defensive rebounding. I've heard Coach say that it's something that they kind of focus on managing that as a problem, but they're willing to deal with it. If you watch what this team does, as far as like takeaways in transition, I think they look at that as a way to make up for a lack of defensive rebounding. So we do a good job getting out in transition.
Sure.
And we do score quite a bit whenever we do that. The question, you know, comes down to, in a big way, if it's not defensive rebounding, where do those stops come from, Dave? Like, how is it?
Sure.
I don't know. Is it rotational or is it tighter assignments or what? Are better scouting reports over games or what? Because 4 points doesn't sound like a lot.
Here's the thing that it's two buckets, right? And here's the thing about it is that I'm looking at it like this: is that the way that coach needs to step this up, and he's done it day in and day out after this, right? And I want to say that he's probably the best coach at this in the league. If you watch the last minute of every single quarter, all right. I want to say 50% of the time in the last minute, right, we get some type of steal, some type of massive deflection. So for me, that's where the step up has to happen, right? It lets us say that coach finds a way to get that minute to extend it to a minute and 20 seconds or a minute and a half. That's where we get the extra buckets, you know, that's where we get the extra steal. So for me, it's like, yes, coach is doing a perfect job. I'm not changing anything, right? I don't want to see anything change. I'm just saying is that last minute of the of every single quarter that we play defense, once we get to the playoffs, I truly believe that that's going to be extended. He's going to find a way to extend that minute, make it into the last minute and a half. And I think we'll hold a lot of teams to like under four buckets. And then, you know, that crunch time in the entire game. And if we can do that, it's over.
Obviously, we're at that point right now where people are like, you got to prove it. And we have to prove it against, you know, our key teams no matter what. And that's what we want. You know, like, we want to go through this. We want to face the best teams that we can each time because, you know, we're not afraid of Dallas or even Sacramento, who's been a hell of a game for us every single time over the last few years. I know that would be the type of series that would really make us stronger. And we saw the previous versions of the Thunder go against those trials. And for a little while, it seemed like the Grizzlies would be up there to be one of those teams that we could go head to head with. They're not there anymore, but in the past, like, that was some of the best series I've ever, you know, felt like I was a part of. We saw the Lakers. We saw the Mavericks. We saw the Spurs. You know, that was the cast of characters that were relevant back then when we were. So I'm excited. Right now, we're getting ready for the future rivalries that we're going to look back and really will define this generation of this team. And it's exciting because these teams that we're going up against, they're good. They're good, and we want to beat the best. We don't want people to be like, oh, yeah, well, we face some like weaker version of the Nuggets. Like, we want people to be like, this is a historically good Nuggets team that was the best team in the world last year, and we beat them healthy to take the crown. And that's what we're going to do. I honestly think we're going to make this run. It doesn't matter what position we're in for the playoffs. They'll figure it out as the playoffs go, but we're the team to beat in the West. I know that people think it's other teams and stuff like that. 100%, just wait till the Timberwolves get down in a series and see what they're made of. You know, wait till you start realizing that Jokic has been playing for like 28 months straight or something like that, and it's wearing on him. Like, we're going to see cracks in this and all, and it's going to be just at the right time. And this transition, people keep talking about the old NBA passing it to the young NBA. They're not ready for it to happen now, but it's about to happen. And we can see some things start to come alive, like Josh Giddey's game. Like, I know it was an ass kicking, but what he put up as far as numbers was really impressive in this last game against Milwaukee. And it says to me, like, you'll never get tired of somebody who can go out there and facilitate at that level and keep the ball moving from side to side, rebound at a high level, you know, and score when the opportunities are there. But it's all coming together for him. And he's the type of performer in the playoffs that when people look back, they'll be like, why did we think all these things about them? And they'll be like, just realize it's because they're biased. It didn't really have anything to do with his actual game. Everybody goes through adjustments, especially when their role is adjusting. But his perseverance is a testament to, you know, just everybody that's invested in him and his overall character as a person. And we're seeing him come alive. And, you know, what happens when he goes out in an elimination game and puts up a 30-point triple-double? You know, like that's what's going to happen. And the whole world's going to watch it. And they're going to be like, why do we trust these fake experts whenever they said he sucked? Because they're biased. And we got to make our own decisions based on what we see ourselves. You're and right. It takes a little time for some players. But, like, isn't it ridiculous how young he is and people have already, like, seemed to have given up on his game when he's already been able to play at a level that's unimaginable for most kids his age? So I'm good, man. I got that rant out of me, but that's how I feel.
Let's just say it right now. 18. All right. 18, guys. 18. 18 points. This is going to be the last time in 2 decades, all right, guys? The last time over the next 2 decades, the majority of the next 2 decades, that we're going to see Chet and Shea combine for 18 points. All right, guys, that's a prediction right there. We're not going to see that again for a very long time until the very end of their careers, and then we start seeing them not play as much and all that other stuff. But combined for 18 points, we're not going to see this again. This is once in a lifetime right here. And I want to say Bucks did a hell of a job. But fuck you, Bucks. Fuck you, San Antonio.
I want to say
fuck you, Dallas.
About
fuck
that,
you,
though.
Sacramento. Fuck you, Golden State. Fuck you, Lakers.
What I think happened coming into this, right? If you guys, I never say listen to Bill Simmons, but if you get a chance, listen to Bill Simmons talking to Doc Rivers about Shea. And I think Doc came in, and I feel like he actually was like, I'm going to give Shea a gift. I love that guy. I'm going to give him a gift. I'm going to give him a playoff scouting report. And I'm going to give him the toughest defense he's seen all year as a gift to him. So he knows what it's going to take in the playoffs when he's in the West, because frankly, they've kind of convinced themselves they wouldn't mind if we emerged from the West. So this defense is going to leave Shea sitting there watching the film and being like, yeah, man, you're going to see all. I mean, when you watch it, dude, it's like, it was a, They went to a heavy switch, like any half screen they were switching, and everything was switched. It was like super. It was a matchup zone with switches everywhere, and people were flying around. It was like, but they what we found was like they never were really out of position, and that left us in a spot where like the whole game, we were kind of like, you know, we were keeping close until the second half, but at some point, they just turned off the spigot. And that's what happens in the playoffs, man. And like how you respond to those environments, how you make adjustments in games and stuff like that. So we got the film to study. Thank you to the Bucks. You can go fuck yourself now. But I know how much respect Doc Rivers has for Shea based on that interview. And I feel like we got to see that in action in this game. And so it's a little masterclass on playoff basketball.
And we're not going to see Chris Middleton have a triple-double on us again. Let's just be honest. So the Bucks had some of their best games. Players have their best games of their career against us the other night. I was wrong. Interruption on that one. Fourth quarter, we played decent. It was the third quarter. We only scored 17 points. Got to get that correction in there. My bad.
I really
want to say this. Yeah, it's we're just trying to play catch up ball at that point, which is, you know, we still got...
There was a gap of like where I think they scored like 20 unanswered points or something like that in the third. It was crazy.
We as Thunder fans, we've seen this a lot. We've seen a 20 plus point loss a lot in the last 3 years. So for us, this is no big deal. Coach has always done a phenomenal job after getting our asses handed to us, getting us back focused and in the gym, making sure we are ready to go. I don't see us going 10 for 43. On three-pointers in the future. That was disgusting on every single angle. And listen, I'm not saying that to be a diss to any of our players. That just is. We had guys that go 1 for 7. We had guys go 0 for 5, you know, 0 for 3, 0 for 4. Like, listen, we had really bad shooting night against the Bucks. I'm wondering if we got in late. I don't know what the fuck went on, but I'm starting to wonder if there is more at play than we realized.
But, I mean, you made a good point because... like Coach D, like this isn't a skill that anybody like measures, but like being resilient in the face of a bad loss, he's the best in the league right now. Like there was a definite situation where we lost by more than anybody else in the league. And you and I spent just a lot of time talking about how incredibly proud we were of the team for their demeanor. Like I've been in environments where you were, you know, just up against a team that had more talent than you or you're outclassed, like how you handle yourself, how you turn on each other in those environments, your body language and all that stuff. It says a lot about the direction you're going in. So, yeah, like this is
absolutely
this isn't even a speed bump. You know, when you've got 82 games in a season, you got to just like, yeah, you learn your lessons and then you move on to the next game. But as we do that, like this next stretch is tough. Like this is the tough stretch that we didn't have over the last month where we were, you know, we had some games against playoff teams, but, you know, a lot of non-playoff teams. Like what's coming up next is playoff team after playoff team after playoff team. So, you know, we're going to stay on our toes. You know, we're still aiming for 60. That number is a little bit like, right now, but who cares? You know what I mean? Who the fuck cares? This is what's happened already this season has been historic from our team perspective.
12 games. There we go. Right numbers there. Pelicans, Rockets, Suns, Knicks, 76ers, Celtics, Pacers, Hornets, Kings, Spurs, Bucks, and Mavericks. We've got two easy games.
You can't do that. Because are you counting the Spurs as easy? Because we lost them last time. So there's no way you can count the Spurs as easy. The Hornets, well, it's like easy to say like, oh, we should.
I was
beat
talking
them.
About Mavericks being easy, bro.
Mavericks? Really?
I was talking about Mavericks being.
I wouldn't count them as easy. Like this is a meat grinder.
Fuck you,
part.
Dallas.
But we put our work in. You know what I mean? And now, worst case scenario for us is, you know, third place. We would love all the home court games we could get. It'd be great for the economy in Oklahoma City, and all of our friends and family get to go to the games. But in the end, you know, our mission to take over the NBA world, you know, nobody said it was complete after this year. So this is just another step in that direction. And we're still hoping for first place, but who knows?
Five games separate us and the Pelicans and Clippers. At this point, you know, I'm not saying that that's a wrap, but as long as we go 500, we get top three in the Western Conference. So to me, that's a win because when we started the season, we said we thought that this team could go top four.
Yeah, that was That was the whole consensus.
Proof is in the pudding. So
right, they said, "Hey, top four. Half of the guaranteed West spots would be good enough." You know, we got carried away, and we're still carried away because we're still in that spot. We're number two, but like we got to make sure that we don't forget that, you know, that top four is definitely exceeding our expectations for this year, no matter what.
If we go 500, right, man, that means we win six more wins, and we end the season with 55 wins. And I want to say, if that's the case, man, I'm buying you a really nice bottle of wine because you were one of very few people that said this team was going to win 55 games this year. So kudos to you if that's the case. But six more wins, which is 500 the last 12 games, would put us in a position to be 55 wins. So, all right, guys, we appreciate you, and we will see you guys hopefully sooner than later.
See ya.